We've been looking recently through the book of Acts. It's been a little bit disjointed with the Venedge Festival, a small thing that happened last week, from which we're all exhausted. But we pick up and we continue. We've just had Pentecost, believe it or not. That was a few weeks ago, wasn't it? But in the book of Acts, we are continuing in Acts chapter 2 from verse 42. Peter has just stood up and addressed the crowd after the Holy Spirit came down, and many have turned and believed his message and turned to follow Jesus. And then it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I don't know whether you've ever watched the television programme Who Do You Think You Are? It's a programme that basically takes famous people and looks through their family history, their family tree, and takes them through papers and documents and then maybe around the country to find relatives or history about relatives, and sometimes even around the world to discover what their roots are, what their history is, and to find out what their family tree holds. If you've ever seen it, it's quite a fascinating programme. Some are more interesting than others. Not all of them have happy histories when they discover what has gone on in the lives of their relatives, in the lives of those which went before them. And not all of them discover their true roots. Sometimes they're disappointed that they don't actually get to the bottom of what's been happening in their family history. But there have been some fascinating stories as they've gone along the way. Not least the story that Ainsley Harriott discovered when he was looking through his history, thinking for years that his great-great-grandfather had been a black slave in the past, and then discovering in this program that he was actually a descendant of a long line of white slave owners. It was a bit of a shock to him. And then there was the story of Graham Norton, who thought that he had come from an Irish family. He was very proud of this, only to discover that originally he'd come from Yorkshire people. He was a little bit disheartened at that. And then, of course, there was Jerry Springer, which was a sad programme as he looked back through his Jewish roots and found out that both his grandmothers had been killed in Nazi death camps during the Second World War. There have been some fascinating stories, some that are very emotional and some that are very amusing. Some of the celebrities, of course, have started their search with less enthusiasm than others. Jeremy Clarkson, for instance, declared that his family history was too boring to bother with. Might not surprise us. And Jeremy Paxman added that he'd always thought you had to live life looking forward, not backward. He says, I've no interest at all in who my ancestors are. But by the end of the programme, it's interesting to see that actually most, if not all of these people, were pleased to have set out on this journey and found out a little bit about their past, found out where they came from, found out why their pattern for life was how it was, found out about their roots, and discovered the answer to many questions. Why Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen had a love of the sea. Why Jeremy Irons had decided to settle down in Ireland. Why Bill Oddie suffered from bouts of depression were all partially answered by looking back at family history, by looking back at family roots. And you know, here, as we look back at the end of Acts chapter 2 in the Bible, we too, if you like, are looking back at our family roots. The roots of the church as we know it today. Because you see, up to this point in the New Testament, we've only ever had the apostles as people to look back to. The apostles of Jesus, those who had seen Jesus, those who had lived with Jesus, those who had watched Jesus, those who had seen his death, his resurrection, and watched him ascend into heaven. Up till now, we've only had this small group of close apostles to look at. But now, thanks to the arrival of the Holy Spirit, we have over 3,000 new followers. Over 3,000 people who've responded to the words of Peter and been baptized. Not just a handful who had journeyed with Jesus and seen him firsthand, but thousands of new people, all seeking to do what God wanted them to do. Thousands of new people, all in our position. The beginnings of the modern day church. The beginnings of what we are today. Our history. Our roots, if you like. At the end of Acts chapter 2, we have our own Who Do You Think You Are program. Especially for us. So that we can discover where we came from. So as we look at this passage, as we look back at our roots and our history, I wonder what we can discover, what we can find that will shed light on what we do today as a church. Well, many people would say that when we look back at this passage, when we look back at our history, we find a pattern which these people who heard the good news of Jesus all those years ago started to follow. A pattern which was taken up by these first followers and which we have stuck to over the years. Here in Acts chapter 2, this pattern is described in verse 42. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. When the first people gathered as the first church after responding to the message of Peter, they gathered to hear the word of God, to share bread and wine, to pray together, and to have fellowship with each other. Today, this is referred to as the four marks of the church. Those elements which mark the church out as the church of God today. In other words, the practice of preaching and teaching, the word of God, so that people will know and learn and keep learning to follow Jesus. And the practice of fellowship, living lives where people can share with each other, encourage each other and support each other to continue living these lives. Also, the practice of participation in the Lord's Supper or communion or the Eucharist, breaking bread together and sharing wine in remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection. And finally, the practice of prayer, meeting together, to pray together, communicating with our God as his people here on earth. The four marks of the church, the four things which these first followers instigated all those years ago and which we have carried through history and still practice until this day. So we can look at this passage, and in one sense, it's easy to see our roots, where we've come from, why we have the patterns that we have today, what our history is. And it's easy to answer some of the questions. Why we have communion once a month? Why we have communal prayer meetings? Why we have house groups? Why we listen to preaching each week? And all find their meaning in this passage in the book of Acts. We can look and we can see those things which we have taken and which we have declared mark us out as the church of God, enabling us to live as God's people for over 2,000 years. If we were taking part in a Who Do You Think You Are church edition, we could look at this passage and say, these are our roots. They're clear to identify. But you know, I have to say, as much as that excites me, and it does excite me, sort of, you know, that we're continuing to do something that thousands of years ago people started to do when they followed Jesus, as much as it excites me, I have to say, I look at this passage and I'm not really satisfied. really satisfied that that's all our history holds. I'm not really satisfied that communion, prayer, teaching and fellowship are all we can claim as our roots as a church. Because you see, I look at this passage and I don't know about you, but I see something more. Yes, I see a pattern that we can follow, that we can look at, that we can learn from. But I look at our roots and I see something much more than just a pattern to be followed. I mean, for instance, I'm struck by phrases in this passage such as, they were devoted, they were filled with awe, they experienced wonders and signs, they had everything in common. I find that one a little bit scary, but nevertheless. They gave to anyone who was in need. They had glad and sincere hearts. They were praising God. They enjoyed the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, I look at this passage. And yes, I see a pattern. I see the teaching, I see the prayer, I see the communion, I see the fellowship. I see the practice of the four marks of the church. I see the elements of our tradition. But I also see something more. I see another dynamic. I see life. I see vitality. I see depth. I see sacrifice. I see joy. I see strength. I see commitment. I see attractiveness. I look at this passage and I see people living in such a way that it jumps off the page at me. That it's something I want to be involved in. That it excites me. And not only does it jump off the page at me, but what these people were doing was actually affecting those around them. Affecting those who walked past each time they went to the temple and saw this little group of gathered believers, or many little groups of gathered believers. They were affecting those around them. Which, when you think about it, is actually quite odd. Because it's not like what they were doing was something new, really. I mean, it's not like praying together and listening to teaching together and performing ceremonies together and having fellowship together was something new. Because these people were Jews. They'd spent their lives practicing the four marks of the church, if you like. They'd lived in community the whole of their lives. They'd listened to the teaching of Scripture the whole of their lives. They'd observed the Feast of the Passover and other religious festivals again and again and again. They had prayed continually to God. This was what they did. They were Jewish people. They had followed the Jewish religion all of their lives. And yet when they gathered after Pentecost and continued to do these things as Christians, they were different. The dynamics had changed. There were signs and wonders. They were sharing their possessions. There was joy and awe. They were devoted and glad. They ate together and shared together, and God added to their number each day. This didn't happen to the Jews every day that gathered faithfully, but it was happening now, after Pentecost, when they come to know Jesus. And so I look at this passage and I see the elements of our tradition, which had come through the Jewish faith all those years ago. I see the things that we've held on to and called our roots. I see prayer, I see communion, I see all those things, but I also see something more. I see a people who had come to the realization that to live in a deep relationship with God, they had to live in a deep relationship with each other as well. To live in a deep relationship with God, they'd realized they had to live in a deep relationship with each other as well. I see our roots of relationship. Do you know there's a story? It's a children's story, as I like to tell children's stories generally in church. I don't know. And it's about a little boy who years ago lived in a village far from anywhere. And every week he'd do the same thing. He'd do a little bit of study with his family, and then he'd do his chores on a Saturday, and then he was able to go out and have a bit of fun and enjoy himself. And nothing really happened in his village because it was miles from anywhere. But one day, as he went down along the road, he saw a poster. It was for a circus. The circus was coming to town. Now, this little boy didn't know what a circus was. He'd never seen anything like that. But it looked exciting from the poster. And so he went home and he rushed home and he said, "Oh, please, 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 could I have some money to go to the circus? There's a circus coming to town next Saturday." And his dad said, "Oh, well, if you do your chores early, maybe I'll give you a bit of money and you can go off to the circus. Be a treat." And so all week the boy was very excited. He did his little bit of study, and in between times he did all his chores until by Saturday morning everything was done. Everything was ready. And his dad handed him a note. He'd never had a note before. He'd had a few coins, but a note. And the little boy grabbed the note and held it tight. And his dad said, "That's for the circus. You run on quickly and don't give that to anyone but the circus people." So the little boy ran off. And as he got near to where the circus was, there were crowds of people. And he pushed his way to the front and he watched to see what was happening. And up the road was coming the circus parade. Animals, birds, trapeze artists, and following up at the rear, the clowns with the big feet and the noses. And the little boy was so excited. He watched all this go past until the final clown came along, plodding along in his big feet. And the little boy at that point got his note, handed it to the clown, and ran off home. Went back to his dad, and everyone else went in the circus tent and enjoyed the circus. The little boy had never seen a circus before, but he didn't realise that what he'd watched was the parade leading up to the circus. And he went off home before the circus started. He missed out on the main event because he didn't know what was happening. And you know, when we look at this passage, our roots in modern day church, and we simply take the basic pattern, the basic elements, and practice them because we're church and that's what we're supposed to do, then we too, like that little boy, miss out. We miss out as the church of God. Because, you see, it's a bit like watching a 3D movie without putting the glasses on. Not that I've done that in many years. But, you know, you don't get that new dimension. You miss a dimension, a vital dimension. Because you see, the thing is, our God is not a two-dimensional God. You know, he's not a God who sits there, unaffected by what goes on around. He is first and foremost a relational God. He is first and foremost a relational God. I mean, every time we meet him in the Bible, he's in relationship, if you think about it. He's in relationship with the world. He's in relationship with Adam and Eve. He's in relationship with Moses. He's in relationship with Aaron. He's in relationship with the people of God. He's in relationship with Joseph and Ruth. He's in relationship with John the Baptist and the disciples. Every time we read about our God, he's in some kind of relationship because that is who he is. That is who he is. Our God is a God of relationship. I mean, look, he is Father, he is Son, he is Holy Spirit. He's not just God, he's a three-dimensional God in relationship all the time. And it's only because of this relationship that God lives in all the time that all the things around us are possible. Creation, love, sacrifice, wonders, joy, strength, majesty, care, protection, suffering, faithfulness. It's only because of God's relationship that all these things are possible. bursting forth from him, unable to be stopped, unable to be quelled, unable to be ignored, springing off the pages of the Bible and all around us, coming from his deep, committed relationship that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so it makes sense, doesn't it, that if our God is a God of relationship all the time, if he lives in and from his relationship, then we as his people need to be in relationship too. Not just with God, but with each other. Just like these first followers were, deeply committed to each other, deeply sacrificial, deeply united as the body of Christ here on earth. These are our roots. This is our history. This is our identity as the people of God who practice the four marks of the church. We are and have to be a relational people if we are to follow God. Now, I'm not saying we should spend all our time together, live in a big house, and eat all the same food. That would just be scary, and probably we'd all end up hating each other and leaving. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is if we lose sight of the fact that our identity as the people of God is a people who have to share their lives as well as their faith, then all we do is come together each week to pray, have fellowship groups, share communion, listen to teaching. Oh, and because we're Baptists, occasionally stick up our hand to vote about things. We simply hold on to the elements of our history and we lose the dynamic of our God. Do you know, when I was a teenager, I used to do all the things teenagers did. Well, maybe not these days, but back then in the day, I'd go out with my friends, I'd go to school, I'd do my study sometimes, I'd have holiday, I'd sit and watch telly, I'd go to parties, I'd enjoy things. But not many people knew that for a few years I used to suffer from what people now call panic attacks. I used to hate being in crowds. I couldn't stand to be in rooms where doors were shut. I had to sit on the end of rows. I longed to be at home in my safe little space. I used to think about how I felt. Was I coping? How was my body? What was happening? All the time. Now, people began to realise something wasn't right, but if you look from a distance, you'd see me going out to parties, you'd see me going to school, you'd see me doing everything that everyone else was doing. You'd see me living life. But actually, I wasn't really living it because I wasn't really able to enjoy it because I was really struggling with what was happening. I was just holding on to the elements of life, the things that everyone else did, but I wasn't actually entering into it and living it fully. And you know, as the people of God, we're called to live as God lives. We're called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, the God who is community, the God who commits fully to relationship, the one who said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. But you know, the only way as the church that we are going to have life and have it to the full is if we realize our true roots. If we realise that to live in a deep relationship with God means we have to live in a deep relationship with each other. One that jumps off the page. One that shows a different dynamic to those around. One that doesn't hold on to the elements of our history, but lives the life that is shown in the pages of the Bible as we turn them. And you know, I believe that when we actually grab hold of that and actually live that for all we've got, that as it says in Acts chapter 2, the Lord will add to our number daily those who are being saved. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that we come together as your people. We all have different stories, different histories, different individual pasts and roots. But I thank you that as we join together and are united as your people, we go back into one history as well. The history of your church. And Lord, I thank you that it isn't just a history that ticks the boxes and follows the things that you tell us to do and just holds on to the elements, but it is a history that is full of life and diversity, full of joy and full of pain, full of sacrifice and full of commitment. And Lord, I pray today that as we sit here as your people, we wouldn't lose sight of our history. We wouldn't have a weak grasp on our roots, but you would help us to be a people who are committed not only to you but to each other, not only on Sundays but every single day, so that people look at us and we will leap out to them as those who are different, those who value other people's lives as much as our own, those who walk with each other through every situation, who celebrate together and weep together. Lord, I pray you would challenge us by your Spirit to be those people, and you would bind us together by your Spirit, and you would enable us to live as you lived when you walked this earth. For I do ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.